when I heard Brother John preaching this morning. The Lord confirmed to me that I just need to preach this message here and pursue charity some other time. So we'll do that. But I want to turn to the book of Jeremiah. We've already been in that book a lot today, so let's turn to that book, to chapter number 24. And usually like to have you stand if you don't mind. If you can't, that's fine, but just a couple of verses here. Chapter 24 and verse number 6 and verse number 7. And the Bible says, "For I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down. I will plant them and not pluck them up." And then we want to look at this first phrase in verse number 7. "And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole hearts." Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be in the house of God tonight. And Lord, we just pray that you'd put your touch, your anointing, your approval on the Word of God and the message that I feel like you want preached tonight. I pray that you would bind the devil and the flesh and all those things that would come in and try to steal away the good seed. And I pray, Lord, that you would open up our hearts. I pray that each one of us has come in with a good spirit and that we're open-hearted and wanting to receive from you. And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Ghost would come in our midst now and speak to us as only you can. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I got to reading this passage it just jumped out at me. Just exactly what you were preaching this morning on that text. It jumped out at me, and God got all over me about it, and eventually it made its way into this message, and actually preached that Wednesday morning, and had no intention on preaching it here, but I think this is exactly what God wanted us to hear. If I've ever been able to plug into Him and know what I'm supposed to preach, I feel confident about it tonight. And so I got to looking up some of these words, because we think, you know, when we read a passage, we think we might know what something is, but till we start digging down in there and start researching, we find out some things that we didn't know. And so I thought, well, I'm going to look up, you know, this term heart, and it means simply the seat of our affections, the desires that we have in our life. And you quoted it this morning. Paul said that I may know Him. That was his desire. That was a burning desire in Paul's heart to know God. And then he went ahead and put it in a phrase of the fellowship of his sufferings. And, you know, the power of his resurrection and being made conformable unto his death. And so, Paul really, really wanted to know God. He had a deep desire. And that's the context of this word heart that we see there. And then the other word that I looked up, it says, God says here that he will give them a heart to know me. And so this word "know," I looked it up, and it means to perceive with certainty, to understand clearly, to have a clear and certain perception of something. And it goes a little bit deeper than that, Brother John. I mean, I looked it up in Genesis, where the Bible says, "And Adam knew Eve." And so there's that connotation of intimacy, closeness. And so when we talk about this heart that God can give us to know Him, it's a heart that's full of desire for Him. It consumes our life, and it should be growing until the day that we see Him. And this knowing Him becomes more and more sweet and more intimate. And as we go through the trials of life like you've just been through, those trials, I think the psalmist put it this way: "It's good that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." And so those times that seem like hard times and bad times are opportunities to get to know God better than we ever knew Him before. And we need to take advantage of those times and turn our attention off of the distractions of this world and the flesh and the devil and all those things that would rob us from those opportunities. We don't learn a whole much up on the mountain. Those are good times up there, and I love being on the mountaintop. But we don't learn a lot up there. But when we're down in the low spots, we learn a lot. And that's when we get close to God. I can remember times in my life where, and it seems odd, but I could be in a crowd of 1,000 people and feel lonely. Now, how could that be with all those people around? But those are the things, those seasons that we go through in our life. And so I got to thinking about, you know, Paul, as he got toward the end of his life, over in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12, he said, "I know whom I have believed." He had a certainty about him. He said, "I know who I am believed." And so that's how we want to be. That's how God wants to give us a heart to know Him. In Matthew 6:21, He said that where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. And so the things that we treasure in life become where our heart is and our desire. And so with that, we've got one problem, and every one of us have it. And Jeremiah again stated it, and it was in 17, verse 9. He says, "The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Meaning that even we deceive ourselves with our own deceitful hearts. We think things are all right and they're not. We're deceived. And it takes the Holy Ghost of God enlightening us and empowering us to see the things of God. It takes God. You cannot live your Christian life out of your own self-exertion and your own self-effort. It takes yielding and submitting to the power of the Holy Ghost of God in your life. And so with that, I got to looking. This heart that God gives to know Him, I got to looking at some things back in Exodus. So turn with me. We're going to look at a few of those passages and spend our time in Exodus chapter 35. And so when you get back to Exodus, there's a lot to be said on this subject of the heart that we're preaching on. In verse number 20 and 35, I'm going to start picking up the reading there. And it says, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And they came, everyone whose heart," there it is, "whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whose spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offerings to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all His service, and for the holy garments." There's a lot of preaching in here I can't get sidetracked on. We're just going to plow through it and stay true to the subject. "And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord." The first thing I see in that group is a warm heart. That heart that's been stirred up. Psalm 39 and verse number 3 says that his heart was hot within him. That heart is stirred up. Timothy said, "Stir up the gift that is in you." When you've got a stirred up heart, you're motivated for the things of God. You're not going to come in the church house, sit in the same old pew, and do the same old things. As one preacher friend of mine says, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. You know, we need to be like Paul and press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There is effort in the Christian life. You can't just sit around and just sit there and think that God's going to pour it on you and you're going to be this super saint filled with the Spirit of God. Every moment's going to be great. That's not the way it's going to be. It's going to be battling. It's going to be strife. It's going to be working and pressing toward that mark. But the good news is God will give you a heart to know Him. He'll cuddle up with you. You'll have the communion of the Holy Ghost with you. And He will give you what you need in those times. Brother Steve, you've been through some rough times in the last few years. You know what it's like to have God get up to you and comfort you through some rough days. You've been through it recently. And all of us can probably sit down and name times that have been rough times. But they're not bad times. God's there. And God takes us to new levels. And God puts this desire to know Him even in a greater way. And if you've ever spent any time where the Holy Spirit of God gets up and starts communing with you, those are the most precious times in my life. You know, I don't care if it's what we classify as bad things that are going on or whether it's just getting in the Word of God and God blessing me through a verse. Those are times that are sweet and times that I don't know why it's not that way all the time in our life. I wished it was, but it's not. That's not reality. So as we think about this kind of a heart, when you know God, you come in the house of God with a warm heart. Now, I've been in Baptist churches, and I'm not going to be mean or pick on anybody, Brother Roger, but I've been in Baptist churches where people just sit like that and look at you. You know, I mean, you think, what am I doing preaching in here? These people don't want to hear nothing. You know, these people don't want a heart to know God. You know, and I mean, it's cold, it's dead, it's like plowing new ground. Have you ever got a tiller out and tried to bust up sod with it? I mean, it's tough work. It takes work. And a lot of times you're busting up ground like that and it's hot outside. And the sun's bearing down on you. And you feel like quitting. And you feel like giving up. But you can't. Not in the Lord's work. You can't do that. And so God wants you to come into the house of God with a warm heart, a stirred up heart. And I remember, you know, when I first got saved, God gave me a heart that was pretty warm. I mean, you never had to get the FBI to find me, Brother John. You never had to get me. When I got saved, I wanted to be in the house of God every time it opened. There wasn't any question about it, Brother Steve. I mean, every time, I don't have to get up in the morning and think, am I going to church, Brother Roger? I never have to think about that. I'm going to church from now until the day I go see Jesus. Every single service. Every service. I've got a warm heart. I love to go where God is. And I've been thinking about going down there in North Carolina where that revival is. I want to get in on it. I'd like to get where God is. A warm heart. When you have a heart that God gives you to know Him, you'll have a warm heart. And then the second thing I see here in these passages, it says, and they came, both men and women, in verse 22, as were willing-hearted. God will give you a willing heart. You know? Yeah, He'll give you a willing heart. And I know when I first got saved, I didn't know nothing. I mean, I knew nothing. I didn't even know how to pray. Brother, I mean, I'd say, dear God, this is Rick. How are you today? You know, that's how I prayed. I didn't know anything about prayer. You know, I didn't know anything about nothing. I didn't even know John 3:16. But I knew I loved Jesus. And I knew I wanted to be around people that loved Jesus. And all of a sudden, Brother Steve, I wanted to tell people about Jesus. I was like a bull in a china closet. If you came around me when I first got saved, I mean, I'd pigeonhole you and tell you about Jesus. I'd say, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. I just asked Him in my heart. This is the greatest thing I've ever had in my life. I mean, I couldn't hardly stand it. It took about a week for everybody that worked with me to go long distances from me. They wouldn't get anywhere near me. Yeah, they were afraid I was going to talk to them about Jesus. But I loved Him, and I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know what to do, but I loved Him and I wanted to tell Him about Him. Yes. I had a willing heart. And if you told me, if you were my pastor when I first got saved and my heart was so willing, if he said, hey, Brother Gresham, go scrub the toilets. Yes, sir, I'd go scrub them toilets. And I would think, well, I'm doing this for Jesus. Every scrub, I'd be thinking about doing it for Jesus. I wouldn't think, oh, look at these nasty people. They've messed up these toilets and done, how could anybody do something like that? I wouldn't be thinking like that. I'd be thinking, I'm doing this for Jesus. And I get to do it. I can't believe it. I get to do it. I don't have to do it. I get to do it. Yes. I had a willing heart. I wanted to. Hey, nobody even discipled me. Nobody told me that I was supposed to read this book right here. Nobody told me I needed to read that book. I wanted to read that book. I wanted to hear from God. I wanted to talk to Him, so I did my feeble praying, but I got in this book every single day, and I'd look through there, and literally I'd stay up every single night, till I couldn't stay awake anymore. I had to go to work in the morning. I'd be in that book 2-3 o'clock in the morning, get up at 6 and go to work. But boy, I'd think all day during work, what a blessed book that is. Boy, I wished I'd have known that book before. Boy, that's a good book. And I'd spend time. I had a willing heart. I wanted everything. If somebody would have come up to me and said I needed the second blessing, I'd have gotten it. Yeah. If somebody would have come up to me and said, you need to speak in tongues, I'd have tried to speak in tongues. You know, I mean, I wanted everything there was to get. I didn't want to come out short. I didn't want anybody else to get more than what I was going to get. I wanted it all. I had a willing heart. Amen. Let's look at these verses. Look at these people that had a heart to know God in Exodus here. In verse number 23, it says, and every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and red skins of ram and badger skins brought them. Everyone. Did you see that? Not some of them. Everyone. Every single one of them. Everyone. That did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering, and every man with whom was found shittim wood of any work of the service brought it. And all the women that were wise hearted did spin it with their hands and brought that which they'd spun, both blue and purple and of scarlet and of fine linen, and all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. Did you see it back there in verse 25? And were wise-hearted. So not only were they warm-hearted, not only were they willing-hearted, but they were wise-hearted. You know, James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. It means he doesn't hold back from you. When you ask, Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. You know, most of the time, we don't have things in our life because we don't ask. It's real simple, brother. It's real simple. I mean, the Christian life is so simple. You know, here some 20-some years after getting saved, I've found that it all goes back to the early days when I didn't know a thing. Just simply obey God every time you're supposed to obey. Submit your will to Him all the time. You know, just keep on submitting. If you can get yourself out of the way, you'll be where you need to be. And so this willing heart and then this wise heart. Now, a wise heart is a person that knows the will of God and lives in the center of that will. You know, a wise-hearted person does not put the things of this life above the things of this book right here. Yeah. If you like sports, I'm not against you. But on Sunday, you're not in the church house in here talking about, you know, your favorite ball team. That's not what you do. When you come into the house of God, you know, you're thinking about God. And you've come here to get something from God. And you want God to give you a heart to know Him. You want to draw closer. You want to get more from Him. And you may not know, just like me, you may not know all those things. But as you draw closer, you just know you want more. And so, you know, you're going to come in here with a prepared heart. You're going to come in hungry, and you're going to come in, you know, just ready to receive from the Word of God. I'd suggest that on Saturday nights that you not stay up late, not party, and not watch television, and not do all these things on Saturday night. Get you some time late Saturday night before you go to bed, 9, 10 o'clock, whenever that is. Pray for the services. Pray for your own heart. And get yourself ready so when you come in here, you're prepared, and you've got the man of God prayed up. You've got you prayed up. You've got your family prayed up. Your heart's so warm and so willing when you come in, you're just right there on the edge of the seat. The shame of today is most people couldn't tell you what the preacher preached this morning. I'm telling you, brother. Most people on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday cannot tell you what their preacher preached Sunday morning and Sunday night. It's pitiful, Brother Steve. I don't know what's wrong with us. Maybe we need to take notes if we're that forgetful. But I think it has something to do with the heart. I think it has something to do with the warm-heartedness, the desire, and that stirred upness. I'll guarantee you that when I met Cindy and we were dating, I'll guarantee you I could tell you whatever one of her letters said. I could recite the phone calls we had, and I thought about them all the time. I thought about her all the time. Now, there's a good correlation there between our walk in the Lord and how we are with people. We ought to be that stirred up. And not only that, if I hadn't heard from her in a day, man, it seemed like 2 weeks. You know, I was waiting for that call or that letter. You know, I couldn't hardly wait to hear from her. Oh, I had it real bad, brother. Still have it real bad. But let's press on here. We'll run out of time. Verses number 25, and all the women that were wise-hearted, go down to 26. All the women whose hearts stirred them, go down to 27. And the rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate and spice and oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring all manner of work. Did you see that? All manner of work. I would submit to you that if you have a heart to know God, you have a working heart. You have a heart that wants to work for God. You want to do things for God. Yes. So I remember when I first got saved. Now, I did this. And most preachers probably have a heart attack if you do it, Brother Donnie. I went to the preacher, and I was single, hadn't got married. He was married. He had kids and all that. But I didn't think anything about that. I was just so concerned about working for Jesus. I said, you know, on Monday night, we don't have anything going on in the church. On Tuesday night, we don't have anything going on in the church. Wednesday, we have Wednesday, and Thursday, we have a prayer meeting. Friday, we don't have anything. And Saturday, we've got something in the morning, but nothing in the afternoon. And Sunday, we have church. So on Monday and Tuesday and Friday and Saturday afternoon, can we go out and knock on doors and tell people about Jesus? Yeah, oh my. He goes, we'll try, brother. We'll try to do it as much as we can. And so we went out and told people about Christ. We knocked on doors. We passed out John and Romans. And we did everything we did. I just wanted to tell people about the Lord. I wanted to work for God. You know? And then I like to tell the story about Mrs. Roberts. You know, she was an older woman in that church and widowed. And so I got the notion that everything's done at the church. There wasn't anything I knew to do over there. So I went over to her house, picked up sticks, mowed the grass and did all that. And, you know, I just enjoyed doing it, you know. And so we ought to be working. And when God gives you a heart to know Him, you're going to want to work for Him. Your heart's going to be stirred up. You're going to do that. And you may not be a preacher. You may not be an evangelist. You may not be a missionary. But everybody who has a heart to know God will be stirred up to do the work of God in some way. You know, if all your Christian life is to come in and sit on a church pew once in a while, then you don't have much. You're missing out on what God has for you. God wants you to have a heart to know Him, and He wants to give you a lot more than what most of us realize. I mean, there's more there to have from God, and it's not get like Santa Claus. It's a fellowship. It's a relationship with God that can go far above what we... That's why I think He said in Isaiah, as the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways above your ways, saith the Lord. That's why, because we have no idea. With our limited minds, we have no idea what God has in store for us. We have no idea. Only what this book says and only what He reveals. And so we not only have this warm heart and we not only have this willing heart and we not only have a wise heart and we not only have a working heart, but look just a little more in these verses here. It says, looking down at verse number 30, it says, "And Moses said unto the children of Israel, See, the Lord hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, and the son of Ur, and the tribe of Judah, and He hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to devise curious works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in the cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of wood to make any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahishamach, the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work, and the engraver, and of the cunning workmen, and of the embroidery in blue, and in purple, and in scarlet, and in fine linen, and weaver, and even them that do any work, and those that devise cunning work. And then over in verse 1 of 36, then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab, the wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought of the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal, and they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. Now I would say that the last heart I see in here is a worshiping heart. I would say that most of us are behind in our praise and in our worship of God. Most of us are behind. You know, the psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times, you know. And we are behind in our worship. We're behind in our blessing. We're behind in our praise of a holy God that deserves every bit of that. And so as these people came in and they brought these free will offerings and they began to worship God, it says down in verse number 5 of 36, and it says, and they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. Have you ever heard in any congregation, in any of your lives, someone said, there's too much work going on here in the congregation. It's too much. You know, we're going to have to put a stop to it. There's too much giving here. And if you keep on reading these verses, because he says in Moses, in verse 6, gave commandment that they caused it to proclaim throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. Have we ever seen anything like that? That's what it is when God gives you a heart to know Him. We are so motivated and so dead to self and so full of desire for God that we do too much. I don't know how that can be. I've never seen it. It sounds almost like a fairy tale. It sounds like something that's just in the words here, but we could never see it. But that's not true, is it? Everything in that book we can see. We just have to meet the conditions. We just have to be obedient. We have to pray and seek His face and ask Him to do those things. And so, a heart to know Him. You can't conjure it up yourself. You can't, with your good character and your good training, you can't do it. You've got to ask God to give you a heart to know Him. And He will. He will. Amen, brother.